To the Middle East, and the battle for control of the Strait of Hormuz intensified overnight. The US says it will immediately reinstate its blockade of Iranian ports and impose a 20% charge on all cargo shipped. In a post on Truth Social, US President Donald Trump says the charge was for safety and security in the Strait, but it's not apparent who will be asked to pay it. In an earlier interview on Fox News, the president said military action would continue.
And so we're just going to hit them very hard, and we're going to keep the strait, and we'll probably run it. We'll become the guardian of the strait. Maybe we'll call it the guardian angel of the strait. And we should be reimbursed for that. When we do that, we're going to be reimbursed because the other nations are very wealthy. They're on our side.
That's President Trump. Well, Iran has declared that it won't let the U.S., quote, interfere in the management of the strait and continue to target U.S. military assets across the region. Barbara Leaf is a former U.S. ambassador to the United Arab Emirates and Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs and joins me now. Barbara Leaf, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks, Sally. Great to be on the program.
What do you make of these latest developments of this U.S. blockade and proposals for a toll, with military strikes going both ways in the past few days as well?
So, I mean, on one hand, there are certain things about current events that are totally unsurprising, and that's the rapid escalation on both sides, use of military force, sort of a standoff. The president reimposing a blockade, a naval blockade on Iran's ports, also not surprising. But what's truly gobsmacking is the idea of the U.S. Assigning a toll of its own of 20% to ships passing through, or is it to the states of the Gulf? It wasn't clear from the president's comments when he said those countries are very wealthy. I had the uneasy feeling he was thinking about somehow assigning that toll to the Gulf states themselves, which, as we know, have borne the brunt of the damage from the war.
Is this even doable, Barbara, this kind of toll?
Well, it's an enormous tie down of U.S. military assets. So, you know, folks have talked for months now inside and outside the government of the U.S. forcing the strait open. Well, you can force the strait open and take casualties and so forth. But how do you maintain it being open? That's an entirely different matter. And that's not only an enormous commitment of U.S. military assets in a region that has already got more than its share of U.S. military assets. It's also a great risk. So, I think it's not really tenable.
What do you make of the tempo of the current military strikes from both Iran and the United States? Are these happening under a mutually understood ceiling? Are we below all-scale, all-out war at the moment?
Well, we're still below a certain threshold, and it is, in a sense, controlled escalation. But it's the kind of thing that can get into uncontrolled escalation. And the thing that puts Iran, the factor that puts Iran at an advantage, unfortunately, is that they can simply continue to resort to horizontal escalation, which is to say they don't so much go after the U.S. or U.S. forces, they go after Gulf states, as they did in the last several days, Bahrain, Kuwait, UAE, even Jordan. So that's where, again, these states take the brunt of the damage, and that's pretty hard.
All the while, Barbara, the clock is ticking on this 60-day period of negotiations. Can the parties come back to the table in a meaningful way in this period?
Well, yes, they can. I mean, diplomacy is always something that is available and that one should think to resort to, especially when the military tools are of diminishing utility, as they are now. As I say, the Iranians have as an asymmetrically imbalanced power. Then, in other words, the U.S. and U.S. Israel certainly can overmatch the Iranians in conventional military power. But we've seen the stark limitations of achieving strategic goals from the air from standoff strikes. In fact, the U.S. has not achieved any strategic goals. It's had tactical successes. So even in this somewhat fraught atmosphere, yes, the parties can return to the table. And that's, in fact, what a number of mediators, especially the Qataris, are attempting to achieve right now.
Barbara, just briefly, the bigger picture, what sort of conversations are happening in places like Washington, D.C. about the reality of asymmetrical conflict? What's been seen between Ukraine and Russia, for example, and now the U.S. facing its own example with the way that Iran has managed to stay in this conflict?
Well, I think on the one hand, it was clear from the Istanbul NATO summit and the president's, not only his engagement with Ukrainian President Zelensky, but also the really dramatic pivot he did on assistance to Ukraine, including the notion of permitting Ukraine to manufacture U.S. Patriot systems itself. So on the one hand, he has clearly been impressed by Ukraine being a winner, in a sense, you know, winning on the battlefield, but with the same tools that are proving quite relentless and difficult to counter by Iran in a different battlefield. So I'm not sure that the president has connected those dots precisely. Certainly military planners have, but there's not a good answer at this point. And that's why I say ultimately diplomacy is the place that this is going to have to be settled.
Barbara Leifo, I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sally.